We're talking now with Sandy Curtis. She is a music therapist. We talked a couple of years ago, and Sandy, when we did talk, I guess it was in the spring of 2019, we had no earthly idea that we were facing one of the most trying times in our nation's history and even the world history with this pandemic. So in your book, you talk about circumstances that can trigger or even perpetuate domestic violence. But now that this situation has come with the pandemic and the coronavirus, how has that impacted the domestic violence cases? Is it risen, fallen, staying the same? What have you heard?
Well, the incidence of domestic violence has indeed increased dramatically over the pandemic, although it's partly that the situation, the stress of the pandemic exacerbates the violence, but the violence has been there all along. And what we really are finding is that it's being exposed, the extreme amount of violence that we are seeing. So we may be seeing an increased amount, but we're also aware of what's going on more. And also the women who are in a domestic violence situation at home because of the pandemic, where for most of us staying at home meant being safe. For women who have been abused, staying at home is the most violent, dangerous place for them. And so they're sort of trapped there without the resources that they would normally have.
Well, with all the stresses that are going along with having to teach children at home and then having to reconfigure your house or your workspace or your time so that you would be able to be a remote worker, and then some stress associated with that remote working, and that is that the boss puts a certain kind of application in the computer and he's able to watch your every single move during the course of the day. I mean, the list could go on. The stressors just keep stacking on top of each other.
Yeah, there is no question that this has been an extremely stressful time for everybody. And I know I'm feeling it in my life, and I know others are too. And so that added stress and all the areas you say really puts more pressure on our relationships, whether it's, you know, people who are, you know, homeschooling their kids or having to work remotely at the same time. The stress is quite incredible. And of course, back when you and I talked originally, who knew that this we would have a pandemic stretching this long? And part of the stress is the not knowing when we will get back to some, you know, hopeful signs of normality.
So with the project that you do, which is music therapy, how has that played out, you know, with the people that you do business with? Is it proven to be as effective as what we were talking about before and as you described in your book?
Yeah, initially there was a challenge for music therapists, but actually we're finding that because of the pandemic, we're having an increased, as you talked about, increased awareness of the mental health needs of everybody in their daily lives. But we're actually increasing access to people to music therapy because they can do that online and they don't have to go out and you know, find somebody at a remote location. So we're having an increased access to music therapy, but I think we're also having an increased awareness of the power of music and how we can use it in music therapy to help people deal with the stresses. And so we are also, I think, increased awareness of mental health, understanding that it's not, you know, somebody who's got a, you know, who's, you know, got a psychiatric illness. Every one of us needs to address our mental health as important in our lives as our physical health. And so with that understanding that it's okay to say I'm not okay and I need a little support, and then to find out that music therapy can really be very effective in that.
I think the first time that I recall actually seeing some possibility of this being effective was whenever I was a kid growing up. The Catholic priest in the adjoining town had a program on the radio, and what was happening at that time, he would pick one of the songs of the day, and what he used most often was, I guess it was Neil Diamond, "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother," and then he would build a therapeutic message around that song. So in your work, do you have particular types of music for particular types of situation? Do you categorize those things?
Oh, absolutely. And I do detail that a great deal in my book, Here's What Kind of Music You Use When. What's most important may not be surprising to you, but may be surprising to some, is that it has to have the music has to be the preferred music of the person who's listening to it, and it has to have meaning. And certainly music has so much meaning, as you mentioned, listening to songs when you're a kid. There's a song, almost music used in every human milestone, you know, our songs when we grow up, our first slow dance, the song that we get married to have at our wedding, our, you know, all of, you know, the ceremonies we use music for relaxing, but also for celebrating joyous moments. You've also seen over this past couple of years, music used in protests. So there really isn't any important music, any important human experience that really isn't enriched by music. We have a long, strong tradition of that in our culture.
I guess several years ago, I thought maybe what I really need to do is put together a collection of music so that whenever I get into the nursing home, that I could listen to all of my favorite songs from the era of time whenever I was younger and up through my middle age. But it was kind of a big project that I never did that. But it is available in so many formats.
Brilliant idea.
Yeah. So, but the music is available in so many different formats. Now you just take your phone, whatever, and pick out the song you want. There it is.
Yeah, and you can make your own personal playlist. Here's a playlist for when I need to unwind from a hard day of work. Here's something I need to if I'm going to go driving a distance and need to get revved up and motivated. So, yeah, I think you should not hesitate any longer and make yourself some playlist for the point in time in the future in your life, because it can be very meaningful.
Was it the movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest or another movie to where Jack Nicholson, I think, was the main star in that movie, but he had a CD or a music collection for every possible scenario that he would run into. Do you kind of develop those kind of things with your clients?
Yeah, I do. And I work with them to sometimes it's hard when you just say, oh, what would be a good piece of music for that? And so I can bring out some music of, oh, yeah, that I remember. And when they start listening to it. And so I do work with them to help play and develop their own playlists for, you know, if the, you know, for whatever occasion they're needing it for, whether it's to, you know, unwind and relax, or whether it's to become uplifted, you know, in a particularly trying time. And so that can be very important. It's very personalized. There's, you know, you might see somebody, you know, selling a, you know, a CD with, you know, here's what you need, but it's not packageable and, you know, the same song for everybody. There's something very personal in your own choices.
Well, whenever you had the book and we talked about it in 2019, it seemed like it's a pretty thorough research, pretty accurate depiction of how music can be used from a therapy standpoint. But I'm even more happy to hear now that since we have been through this incredible crisis of the pandemic, that you have reiterated that what your perceptions were at that time essentially have stood the test of the time and even given you new opportunities.
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, music therapy never ceases to amaze me, the power of music to really help people change their lives, transform them, and to really gain their own voice. So it's partly music listening, but when I work with the people, the women that I work with, it's also allowing them to write their own stories in song, and that's very powerful too.
How can people find your book?
They can find it at my website, sandycurtis.com.
Well, Sandy, thank you for what you do, and thank you for taking some time to talk to us and give us this update on the information we started down this journey a couple of years ago, and it's great to hear from you.
My great pleasure.
Our guest today, Sandy Curtis, music therapist.